Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Churches are full of the how-to sermon. I mean, if you were to walk into a church and try and determine what the central message of Christianity was by the average sermon in the big box church, you would probably, after listening a Sunday or two, determine that the central message of Christianity is self-improvement. Your life is okay, but it can be better. Maybe your life has been kind of bad, but it can be better. And here are several, or perhaps many, simple steps that you can take to improve things. Now, sometimes God is included in the mix. You do this, God will do that. Actually, that is kind of the theme of the sermon that we're going to review here in this first hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, October the 13th. We're going to be reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church titled Your Choice, Blessed or Stressed. It's actually the beginning of a sermon series titled Decade of Destiny, part of their spiritual growth seminar that they do every year around this time. We'll review this sermon as much as we can get through in 1 hour here in the first hour of the program. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can also email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or, and this is in advance of the second hour of the program, you can go to our Facebook fan page and weigh in on a bit of a debate between the Hitchens brothers, Christopher Hitchens, very famous atheist, his brother, debating the necessity of God. I want to know what you think about it. We'll have audio open lines in the second hour of the program, and you can leave your thoughts at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll play a bit of the debate for you, or you can hear it at our Facebook fan page, and then I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or again, the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We'll round off the 2 hours of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, talking about Christians and gaming, either on your computer, on your console. There are many ways to game now. It's a very immersive hobby, sometimes more immersive than others. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video podcast called Worldview Everlasting, will join us to talk about that in about 90 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Every time we review a sermon, we try and do it once a week for you now on Issues, Etc. We go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. We use the same criteria for every sermon we review. I recommend it not as a catch-all diagnostic for every sermon, but as a good basic diagnostic for every sermon. What I mean there is, it will not tell you everything you need to know about good preaching, but it will tell you the most important thing you need to know about good preaching. Is it Christ-centered? Is it cross-focused? Part one, is Jesus mentioned? If Jesus isn't mentioned, you're not listening to Christian sermon, find another church. Is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally of how often he is mentioned explicitly. This shouldn't be too difficult. if Jesus is mentioned, go on to the second part of the diagnostic. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? It's a grammatical question. It's an important question for preaching as well. Is the preacher telling you what Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Or is the preacher talking about Jesus, but only in the sense that it's what you do for him? Is Jesus driving the verbs? Is he doing the doing in this sermon? Is the preacher talking about what Jesus has done or about what you do? If he's mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three. What are the verbs? Very simple. Is this the Jesus of pop psychology? Is this the Jesus of the how-to sermon, who is there to inspire, motivate, affirm, set an example, help you along the way when you find yourself short of resources? Or is this the Jesus who actually does it rather than shows you how and helps you along? Is this the Jesus who does it, who lives for you, who suffers for you, who dies for you, who rises again? Now, Jesus sets the standard pretty high. He says all of scriptures testify to him. That's John chapter 5, 39. He says, it all testifies of me. The example set by John the Baptist, shortest, sweetest, best sermon ever preached, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's all right there. John is a good example here where he doesn't talk a lot about himself or about his audience, but he talks all about Jesus, the one who would come after him. And of course, St. Paul says, I was determined to know nothing among you, speaking to the Corinthians, save Christ and him crucified. And with that, here's the sermon. It's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church. It's titled Your Choice, Blessed or Stressed. It's the beginning of a sermon series there at Saddleback titled Decade of Destiny.
Hello, Saddleback. It's good to see you, regardless of which campus you're participating in our worship service with this weekend. If you'll take out your message notes, I'm actually beginning the Decade of Destiny message series a week early because I've got too much to share and I can't fit it all in 6 weeks. So we're going to begin today, even though we're actually beginning the spiritual growth campaign that we do every year next week. One of the most common phrases I'm sure you've heard on a daily basis is the phrase, God bless you. God bless you. What in the world does that mean? What is a blessing? Can anybody define it? I mean, most people wouldn't know a blessing if it hit them flat in the face. When you pray, God bless my family, God bless my work, God bless my church, God bless America, what are you praying? What is a blessing? I spent the last 2 weeks studying this subject, and I studied every single verse in the Bible and every promise of blessing for God on your life. Because that's what we're talking about when we go into the decade of destiny. You know, as your pastor, the Bible holds me accountable for your spiritual growth. I don't take that lightly. In fact, it keeps me up at night. And if you choose to put yourself in this family, in this flock, under my spiritual care, the Bible says I am accountable to God to help you grow. I want the next 10 years of your life to be the best 10 years of your life. I want you to be more blessed and less stressed in the next 10 years. I want God's blessing on your finances. I want God's blessing on your health, your relationship, your family, if you're married, your children. I want God's blessing in every area of your life and on your life. Now, I don't have time this weekend to go into every one of those verses. If you'd like to have the verses of God's promises of blessing in your life, just take out a card now or sometime during a boring part of this message and write your email on the card and write the word blessing. And I will email you this week all the verses in the Bible that talk about God's promises of blessing on your life. Now, what is a blessing? The word actually means good word. It means to speak a good word. But a blessing is a powerful word. Because when God blesses someone or something, he takes what they naturally have and he multiplies it and he makes it sufficient to meet all of your needs.
Now, you heard me at the beginning of the sermon review kind of opine on the how-to sermon. And the premise of the how-to sermon, of course, is you already pretty much have everything you really need. Your life is okay. It might be substandard. It might be below par. It might not be what you want it to be, but it can be what you want it to be, and that's where God comes in. The premise of the how-to sermon is we can take your already pretty good life or maybe less than good life, and we can improve it. And you've already heard it there from Rick Warren. He says a blessing is basically taking what you already have and multiplying it. I don't know where he got that particular definition. He says he's done the study on the word blessing. I'm no expert in these things, far from it. But I don't know where the Bible explicitly teaches that a blessing is God taking what you already have and multiplying it, or taking your already pretty good life and making it better. I mean, I'm looking at the accounts of blessing. I'm thinking about Abraham, who is blessed with something that he didn't have, that he couldn't have, that was not at his disposal, that he never would have had, namely a son. He was as good as dead, unable to bear children, beget children. God made him wait 25 years until he was good and dead in that sense. And then God blessed him with a son that he could not have had and did not have before. It wasn't about taking what Abraham had and multiplying it, or taking Abraham's already pretty good life and making it better. It's about giving him something that he could not have ever of himself. So already the definition that Rick Warren's working with here in blessing, so far no Jesus. So if you're doing the diagnostic, you really don't have any need to have written anything down, but keep listening for Jesus. Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? More sermon review after this. How he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, Issues, Etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're reviewing a sermon by Rick Warren. Blessed or Stressed, the beginning of a series on the decade of destiny, he says already. Now, he is right here. He says, that as pastor of this congregation, God has given him certain spiritual responsibility. He says the responsibility is to see to it that you grow, to help you grow. Actually, the Bible says that the pastor's responsibility is exactly the opposite. What do I mean? The analogy that Jesus uses is of the farmer, who has nothing to do with the growth whatsoever, but he is tasked, if you will, made responsible for planting good seed. That is, preaching the good word of God, rightly divided, rightly handled, as Scripture is careful to warn us that we can mishandle God's word. The farmer plants the seed, then he goes to bed, and he doesn't know how it happens, but it says the earth produces the fruit of itself. The seed in the earth grows without the farmer's urging, cajoling help. He wakes up the next morning, something's growing, and there it goes. It produces fruit because the seed has been planted. The pastor's responsibility is not to see to it that you grow or help you grow. His responsibility is to plant the seed of God's good word, Christ and Him crucified, in you week in, week out by preaching long gospel, and God sees to the growth Himself. Back to the sermon.
That's what a blessing is. Do you remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, that miracle where they were out in the middle of the desert and nobody brought any food, and one little kid had a lunch and he gave it to Jesus. Jesus took that little lunch of that little boy, five little rolls and a couple fish, and he raised it up to heaven and he blessed it. And then he broke it and it multiplied and it met everybody's needs. Now, that's what happens when you are blessed. All your needs are met. That's what I want to happen in the next 10 years in your life. I want all of your needs to be met. That's what Decade of Destiny is all about, to get us ready for. Now, the common word for blessing in the Bible, in the Greek, which the Bible was originally in the New Testament, was written in Greek, is the word Makarios. And Makarios, interesting, was the same word that they used for the island of Cyprus in ancient times, because Cyprus was famous for being an island that was self-contained, in that everything you needed to sustain life was already on the island. It was famous for that. So the people didn't have to go off the island for anything they didn't need. The island was self-sustaining. It had all of the needs met there. And to be blessed, Makarios, means that all of your needs are met and they're all sustained. Now, God's blessing on your life is not limited to how big your needs are. God's blessing on your life is not limited to how you got those needs. It may be your own stupidity, your own fault that you got into that need. God's blessing is not based on the resources available. It's based on His power and your trust and obedience to what He tells you to do. You know, I read a story recently about a man who was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam for 7 years in the famous Hanoi Hilton.
Let's take a break here for a second before he gets into the Hanoi Hilton story. It struck me that he said, God's blessing is based upon His power, your faith, and your obedience. Those are the three ingredients that he mentioned there. God's power to do what He can do, that's never in question. God, by definition, He's powerful. Gods are, by definition, powerful and able. If you aren't, you're not a god, right? So any god worth his salt has power. So there's no question there. The second ingredient that he mentioned was your faith. Now, here's where the question marks begin to emerge. And we'll see what Pastor Warren has to say about this as the sermon progresses. But one of the conditions, God's power, that condition is obviously met. God meets that. Then your faith sounds like something that you have to meet. And then he said, your obedience to what he wants you to do. So two of the conditions of blessing, one is met by God, his power, the other two are met by you. So far, I mean, if this is going to be consistent, this sermon will probably be mostly about what you need to do to be blessed. So if, and I hope to stand corrected, but if we continue to listen here, at least based upon what Pastor Warren has said so far, we're going to hear about what we need to do to fulfill our part of the condition. God's power, God meets that. Our faith and our obedience to what God wants us to do, that's how, the only thing holding back the blessings. It's not that God isn't powerful enough. The only thing holding back the blessings is that you haven't met the condition yet. So we can expect the subject of this sermon to be you and what you do, a la our diagnostic, you and what you do rather than Jesus and what he has done for you.
And he said, you know, for 7 years, my daily meal was a bowl of broth. Really, it was just colored water. There was never any meat in it, seldom any vegetables. It was just pretty watered down broth. And he said, but you know, every day I would take that meal and I would pray and I would ask God to bless it. And he said, somehow God used that to be like meat and potatoes, and it kept me alive for 7 years when I wouldn't have had it, stayed alive on my own. God says, I want to bless your life. And what I want to do before we get into the second half of the message today is, in the first half, give you a summary of all that the Bible says about his blessings on your life. Now, this isn't on your outline, so don't even try to take notes. What I want you to do is sit back and listen to this, and if you want it, I'll email it to you this week. The Bible tells us seven very important facts about God's blessing on our lives. The first fact it tells us is that we don't deserve it. Now, that's an obvious one. I don't deserve God's blessing. I can't earn God's blessing. I can't work for God's blessing. I can't, figure out a way to pay for God's blessing. It is totally a gift. In fact, the Bible says, all these verses are here on the screen, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another.
Now, take careful note here, because he's sticking with what Scripture clearly says, here he is right. None of the blessings we receive, we deserve. Now, compare that, as we continue to listen to Pastor Warren's sermon on blessed distress, with whether or not he's consistent with that. Is this really, throughout the rest of the sermon, going to be what he tells you, that you deserve none of this and God gives it purely from his grace, his undeserved mercy and love? Or will the earning of blessings, you meeting the condition that's upon you for getting blessings, find its way in the back door, perhaps, maybe even more directly, in the front door?
God's blessing, everything God does in and for and to your life, he does because he's a good God. Not because you're good, but because he's good. It's all because of his grace. And the Bible says everything in our lives is a gift of God. Everything is because of his grace. Now, the reason, number two, the reason God blesses you is because he enjoys doing it. God enjoys blessing his children. Now, any father can understand this. I really get a kick out of buying my kids things. And I especially get a kick out of buying my grandkids things. And it's like, it's always burning a hole in my pocket. It's like when I first fell in love with Kay, man, I could not keep money in my pocket. I was always buying her stuff. I'd see all this stuff on TV, you know, Fishing Magician. Oh, she'd like one of those, I'm sure. You know, the Oriental Walk Steamer. But wait, we'll throw in the Ginzu knives. And I'd buy that. And I was always buying her stuff just because you cannot love without giving. God enjoys blessing his children. And one of the big things I want you to learn in Decade of Destiny is that God wants to bless you. He's not holding back. He's waiting on you. The Bible says this: I will enjoy blessing them. This is God talking. With all my heart and soul, I will faithfully plant them in this land. Now, he's talking here about Israel moving into the promised land. And he says, I'm going to enjoy blessing them.
Now, if you weren't paying real close attention, you might not have heard this, but he just said, the only thing holding God back from blessing you the way he wants to is you. You haven't yet met the condition for God to bless you. And how that squares with God blessing you in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you do, you don't earn God's blessings. I don't know how that works out. It sounds an awful lot like a quid pro quo to me, that the only thing holding back God from blessing you is you. But we'll let Pastor Warren go on a little bit here before we take our next break, just trying to sort out the incongruity between those two statements.
He said, well, great, Rick, but he's talking to the Israelites there. He's talking to Jews. I'm not Jewish. Well, let me show you another verse. Look at this verse on the screen. My blessings are for Gentiles too. Who's a Gentile? Anybody who's not a Jew. That's me. That's you. My blessings are for Gentiles too. When they accept the Lord, don't let them think that I will make them second-class citizens. They can be as much as mine as anyone. God wants to bless your life. Now, the third thing the Bible teaches is that God promises and actually even guarantees that he will bless your life if, and here's the big condition, if you do what he says.
It's difficult for me to sort this out. We're going to have to continue the sermon review on the other side of the break. How it is that God blesses us unconditionally because of his grace, and yet he just said, here's the condition. If you do what he says, then God will bless you. Which is it? Now, I'm convinced that Pastor Warren does not see the incongruity here. I don't know exactly what he means by grace then. I mean, the only thing that can be, if there is no incongruity between God blesses you solely because of his grace, and God blesses you because if, here's the condition, as Pastor Warren says, you are obedient, he must have a different definition of grace. Don't you think? We'll be right back. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A frightening development came into light when an under-the-radar event was uncovered. The FBI and Department of Justice held an August training seminar with pro-abortion activists like Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation. Held at FBI headquarters in Portland, it was aimed at combating the so-called pro-life violence against the abortion industry. An 84-page document described this to include praying or peaceful counseling of pregnant women outside abortion mills. These and other constitutionally protected free speech activities were targeted. Neither the FBI nor Department of Justice has returned calls or emails regarding this highly questionable event. Considering the huge erosion of personal liberties under Mr. Obama, this is a reason to be concerned.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, I didn't mention this as part of our diagnostic. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I have mentioned properly dividing God's word by law and gospel, the ability to distinguish between when God is speaking law, that word from him that shows and condemns our sin, and when God is speaking gospel, and that is that word from him that shows us the perfect obedience, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us and for the forgiveness of our sins. What we're seeing here so far in the sermon from Pastor Warren is a failure to distinguish between the two. That's why he can talk about blessings coming by God's grace and blessings coming by your obedience in the same breath without any sense of incongruity whatsoever, because he fails to see that some statements about blessings are law. Some of them say, you are disobedient. I only bless those who obey me. So who will God bless if it depends on obedience? Not me. Not you. No one. because no one is obedient the way God requires us to be obedient. So we shouldn't expect God's blessings. That's where grace comes in, you see. Grace isn't about God kind of being favorably disposed toward you, but there is the condition, of course, of your continued obedience. That's not salvation. That's probation. Grace is about God knowing your sin completely and providing for your atonement, your forgiveness, all by himself, and blessing you, not because there's a condition of your future obedience here, but because he has poured out his grace upon you richly in Jesus Christ. Now, that's what's missing still from this sermon so far. Jesus. He's talking about how good God is. But kind of a generically good God doesn't offer any real comfort. God is good in a particular way. He is loving in a particular way. God loved the world in this way. He sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what the passage actually says. But so far, we've got a God who blesses, who requires your obedience for that blessing, and no Jesus yet. So Jesus hasn't even entered into the formula of whether or not you're going to be blessed or stressed.
The promises of God and the blessings of God in your life are not automatic. They are conditional. Would you write this down? Every promise has a premise. Every promise has a premise. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible where God says, if you do this, I will do this. If you confess your sins, I will forgive you. If you call upon me, I will save you. If you obey me, I will bless you. There are over 7,000 promises, and every promise has a condition. Now, God isn't waiting, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you to fulfill the conditions so he can bless your life in ways you've never imagined. Let me give you one example. Here in your outline, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2 to 8. This is a longer passage. It says, and notice all the different blessings in here, but notice the condition. You will experience all these blessings if, circle that, if, here's the condition, if you obey the Lord your God. In other words, if you follow the instructions, you will be blessed in your towns and in the country. You'll be blessed with many children and productive fields. You'll be blessed with fertile herds and flocks. He's talking about blessing your business. You'll be blessed with baskets overflowing with fruit and kneading bowls filled with bread. You'll have all the food you need.
I don't know what to say. He's reading the passages. He's reading from his favored, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, The Message. You always got to be wary of that, but laying that aside, he's reading the passages and he's with a completely straight face saying, the only thing keeping God from blessing you is you. You just simply need to be obedient. And when you're obedient, God will bless you. It's that simple. And that is what the passages say. Again, the failure to distinguish law from gospel. These passages are intended to show us our failure to obey. And therefore, our complete lack of any prospect of blessing from God, period. Which is why the blessings must have a different source than our obedience. But here's the problem. Pastor Warren sincerely believes that this kind of obedience is possible. The kind of obedience required by God for blessings to come. He believes it's possible. He believes you can do it. So these passages that are intended to show us our sin are instead now being applied by him to simply, what, encourage us to do better. You've got it in you. You can do this. Just do it. And then God will bless you. Meet the condition. Obedience. Now, one thing he does not stress, which the Bible actually does, is what kind of obedience God does require, whenever he calls for it. God does not require that you do your best. He doesn't require that you mean well. He doesn't require that your heart is in it. He doesn't require that you try. He requires perfect obedience. You say, how could God require perfect obedience? We're not perfect. That's right. But God's law is. And his requirements are. That's kind of our problem, isn't it? God's law requires perfect obedience. I can prove it to you. What kind of obedience did Jesus have to render to the Father to satisfy the demands and the condemnation of the law? Did Jesus just have to try? Did he have to do his best? Did he have to be sincere, have his heart in it? Shoot for an A but fall short? No. Jesus was required to render perfect obedience, sinlessness to his Father to satisfy the demands of the law. That's why this whole thing about Jesus doing it for you, and if you leave Jesus and his obedience out of a sermon on blessing, it makes no biblical sense whatsoever. That's why the failure to distinguish between God when he is speaking a word of law that shows us condemns our sin, and God when he is speaking the word of gospel in Jesus Christ is so crucial here. But if you don't mention Jesus in a sermon, you're never going to get to that, are you? It's all going to be about you and what you do.
You'll be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. That's a blessing. And the Lord will bless, circle this, everything you do, and will fill your storehouses with grain. That's called prosperity. Bless everything you do. As your pastor who loves you, I want this verse true in your life. In the next 10 years, I want you to be in such a position, and that's what Decade of Destiny is all about, so that God can bless you. You got to get blessable so God can bless you. When you are blessable, God says, I will bless everything you do. Now, not only does God want to bless you, this is a cool thing. God wants to bless you visibly, publicly, in front of other people.
We'll get to that in a second. So just so we're completely clear here, that we are not Rick Warren is a Christian. He is. He believes in Jesus. I have no reason to doubt that if woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning out of a dead sleep and asked, why does God love you? Why does he forgive your sins? I'm convinced Rick Warren will answer the question, because of Jesus. Why he doesn't preach it, I do not know. I honestly do not know. But I think this is a good illustration of how when a preacher can get into the pulpit or up on the dais or up on the stage and don the mini microphone and talk to you about becoming blessable, and it makes perfect sense with no Jesus whatsoever. You just need to become blessable. Get blessable. Do it. And then God will bless you. It is quid pro quo. Just so we're very clear on this, this so far is not a Christian sermon. The man preaching it is a Christian, but what he's preaching isn't.
In many ways, God wants to show off his blessing. He wants to show what a good and loving God he is. And when God blesses you, it is a witness to other people. Notice this verse here on the screen. Lord, you have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. Now, let me stop right there before we look at the whole verse. The Bible says that right now, God has already stored up the blessings he has for you in the next 10 years. He already wants to give them to you. They're already stored up. He's already planned what he wants to give, but they're not automatic. And you can go the whole next 10 years and not get a one of them, because there's a condition, there's a premise for every promise. They're not automatic. God has stored up blessings, but you can go through life and miss all the blessings of God that he intended for your life. You can miss them. Relationships, successes, you know, goals that are reached, you can miss them all. They're stored up. But he says, they're blessings for those who honor you. You do much, Lord, for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. I want God to bless your life in such a way in the next 10 years as your pastor and as a part of our church family, that when people look at you, they go, good night. That woman is blessed. That man is blessed. That family is blessed. What's going on over there at that Saddleback Church? The people who go there, man, they're all blessed over there.
And why? And why, we must ask. as we go into this last break of the first hour. Why are the Saddleback people going to be so blessed over the next decade? Well, according to what Pastor Warren has said, and he said it repeatedly, he has said it this way, that way, backwards and forwards. He has made it quite clear what the condition is. Those people are all going to be blessed in the next decade because of their own obedience. No Jesus required. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Sermon Review time here for the next 10 minutes. Pastor Rick Warren, kicking off his sermon series titled The Decade of Destiny, the sermon Blessed or Stressed. It's really all up to you, depending on how obedient you're going to be. It is that time of the year. Congregations are sitting down making decisions about what's going to be in their annual budget for the next year. They're making those decisions right now, in fact. One thing we'd like your congregation to consider: become part of the Issues Etc. 300. That's a congregation that includes Issues Etc. in its annual budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. You can find out all about the benefits that we provide for Issues Etc. 300 congregations. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find there a one-page flyer that you can print off, well, download and print off, and then take to your congregation and tell them about joining the Issues Etc. 300. issuesetc.org. Click support. Get that flyer and bring it to your congregation now as you consider next year's budget. And thank you in advance. Daniel in Lincoln, Nebraska says via email, "Sounds a bit like the Treasury of Merit." Yes, in the medieval Roman Catholic Church, there was this Treasury of Merit. The saints had too many good works built up over their lives of great piety, and you could draw upon them. The most you draw on Mary's merit and others, but you could draw upon it through certain prayers to the saints or what, or certain acts. And of course, for Rick Warren, the only difference is that God has all these blessings stored up for you, but you got to turn the key. He's not just going to bless you. Come on. I mean, he's good. He's gracious. He's loving, but he's not just going to bless you. You got to do something. I mean, you got to fulfill your end of the deal, the condition, as he puts it. the premise on the promise, as he puts it. And when you do, then you can expect God to bless you. I wonder what happens when someone renders the kind of obedience that Pastor Warren is calling for over the next decade and their wife dies or their house burns down or they get a child ill in cancer. Can they go to God at that point and say, come on, God, I've done my part. Now you do yours.
What are they smoking? What's in the water? How do all those people over there in that church, how do they get so blessed? God says he wants to bless you in front of a watching world. It's a testimony. Now, why does God bless you? Well, there are three reasons. Not because you deserve it, but first, because he's a blessing God. He loves to bless. He enjoys blessing. Second, he wants it to be a witness to other people. And third, God blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. That's the third reason. He blesses you not so you can be just some fat cat and be self-centered, but he blesses you so you can help people less fortunate. We did a whole series on this a few years ago called Blessed to Be a Blessing. The Bible says this on the screen, I will cause my people and their homes, God wants to bless your home, around my holy hill to be a blessing. Not notice, not receive, but be a blessing. And I will send showers, God says, showers of blessings. In other words, that's a ton, which will come just when they are needed.
Okay, now he has the three reasons. It's not because you deserve it, but he's just spent the last 10 minutes telling us how we can deserve, be obedient, honor God. God's not going to bless you unless you're obedient, and when you're obedient, he will. So still a very different definition of grace than one that the Bible sets forth. It's a grace that is entirely conditional upon your obedience when it comes down to it. I mean, it's not that God won't store up the blessings for you. He's really good at storing up the blessings. But in delivering, that requires you to do what you do, which is your obedience. So get busy. Or you can go the next 10 years without any blessings. It's okay. But it'll be entirely your fault. It won't be God's fault at all. Now, again, a terrible butchering of these passages on blessing. What in the world is this series going to be like if it starts out with, you know, God's done everything he can do. He's good. He's a blessing God. He's storing it up. I mean, his storeroom's running over. It's about time you got obedient or became blessable in Pastor Warren's parlance so that he could start blessing you. But it isn't going to happen until you render that obedience. Now, we don't have time to listen to all of Pastor Warren's sermon, so let's cut to the chase and let's listen to the conclusion.
Now, look at the last verse on your outline. These are the six things that God says, if you do these things, I will bless your life in unusual ways. And in John 13:17, Jesus said this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you know them. No, that's not what it says. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? Do them. All what I just shared with you, it's worthless if you don't do anything about it. You just wasted an hour of your life. If you don't have any intention to do anything about it, there's no blessing for knowing. There's only blessing for doing. We've designed Decade of Destiny around these six promises of blessing. But nobody's going to force you. I can spend all year preparing this stuff, studying for this stuff, taping this thing, planning up Bible studies, preparing projects for you to do these so that you can be blessed. But nobody's going to force you to do this. Nobody's going to force you to. You got to make the decision. And this is your choice. In the next 10 years, are you going to be blessed or stressed? You're going to go through the next 10 years just like you did the last 10 years? Stressed out? Are you going to go and say, I want a new level of blessing in my life. I want God's blessing on my family, my finances, my health. I want God's blessing on my relationships, my friendships, my career. I want God to bless me. I want to be in a position that it not only blesses me, but my kids and their kids and their kids. I want to be a multi-generational blesser. I want to bless other people because I've been so blessed. I want to have to say to God, God, stop, you're blessing me too much. Wouldn't that be great? But it's your choice. blessed or stressed. Now, there in your outline, on look at the end, these are some simple things I've just mentioned. You could check every one of these. Say, okay, look, I'm in. I'm going to do the daily devotions. I'm going to come and I'm going to hear for all the weekly messages. Yeah, I'll be a part of the Decade of Destiny offering at Thanksgiving. Thanks and giving go together. I'll help out with our food pantry drive, and I'll bring food. And I'll help in the city projects at our small groups. And I'm going to be in a small group. I'll either attend one or host one. You can pick up your curriculum today. And I'll attend a vision rally this week. I'll see you Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, Friday or Saturday morning. Now, all this presupposes that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't do that, it doesn't really matter, because the Bible says all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. It's because of what he did for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
That's what I call the footnote Jesus. I mean, come on. And let's give, you know, none of this would be possible without our wonderful benefactor Jesus and whatever he did for us. You notice that he didn't tell you at all what Jesus actually did for you? That's also presupposed, I guess. All of this, when a sermon ends, all of this presupposes what Jesus did, and he doesn't tell you what Jesus did? That's called footnote Jesus. Subject of the verbs. Who was it? I. I'm going to go daily devotions, weekly messages. I'm going to give my offerings. I'm going to participate in the food pantry. I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to go to the vision rally. I. Oh, and by the way, you might want to include Jesus in there too. I mean, you know, while you're checking things off the list. Does Rick Warren actually believe that he is blessed by God because of his obedience? That's what he preached in this sermon, that you can be blessed for the next 10 years by God if you are obedient. How obedient does God want you to be? Well, I guess in Rick Warren's universe, God grades on a curve. Just do your best. Because if it's perfect obedience, the next decade's going to be hell. I can guarantee you. If the blessings of God depend upon your obedience in the least little bit, the next decade will be without blessings. And you know, the other side of that blessing coin is also curses. Because he refuses to hear the curse of the law pronounced against our sin and turns the law into a how I can do it better or how I can do it and get God's blessings. Because he refuses to hear the curse of the law and then placard before his people the one who became a curse for us at the cross so that we might have his forgiveness, his life, his mercy, his love, and indeed all the blessings of God. Because he refuses to do this, he has spent 54 minutes, almost on the nose, 54 minutes preaching to his people on a Sunday morning. Jesus gets honorable mention. Very little honor, by the way. You're the subject of the verbs, and there is no cross. Reformation Week is coming up here on Issues, Etc., and we would like you to help us promote it at your congregation. Very simple thing. Just put it in your bulletin, and we've made it easy for you to do that. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right at the top of the page. Depending on your time zone, you can download and print off a bulletin insert for your congregation telling everyone there on Sunday morning about Reformation Week, 18th through the 22nd. I know it's a little early, but we like to get a jump on Reformation. The Reformation never ends here at Issues, Etc. October 18th through the 22nd, great guests, some of your favorites, and focusing on what Rick Warren doesn't focus on, focusing on the great teachings of the Reformation, grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone, all during that week. Our website, issuesetc.org, click support. Download one of those time zone sensitive bulletin inserts, print it off, take it to your congregation, put it in the bulletin so everyone can hear Issues, Etc. Reformation Week coming up next week on Issues, Etc. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll do some audio open lines. We'll hear a debate between an atheist and his brother, a theist, the Hitchens brothers, on God, and we'll get your reaction. Then we'll talk about Christians and gaming. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two in 7 minutes.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues, Etc.